typically you can ask about three major subjects to start a conversation. You could talk about the weather. You could talk about what they've done that day. How was your weekend? Or you can talk about like where they're from, you know, like just.
I like the Ford. Have you heard of this? Family, no. Occupation, relationships, dreams. Recreation, dreams. It's not relationships. It's family, occupation, recreation, dreams. Those are the four areas that you can go into. That has never served me wrong in a conversation with anybody, because you can always say, how many siblings do you have? Tell me about how old's your brother? No way, my brother's the same age. What do they like to do? And then everybody loves to talk about their siblings, most people. You know, what is your dream job? If you could, a good question that I like to do is like, if you could have $1 million a year doing whatever, what job would you pick? You know, money's no object. What job are you selecting? Because then that breaks them out of like, well, this is my major and this is what I'm studying. And then they could be like, no, I really want to be a DJ. And it's like, that's so really cool. That's interesting. Yeah. You know, and then you can talk to them about being a DJ. So. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's sticking its face in ice and making it Ghibli and et cetera. It's your boy, Ethan. Yeah.
And I'm Patrick.
Everything's too fast. The cycle moves.
I was like, what are we going to do? The only podcast that is leaking war plans on Signal. You know, yeah, like what it's are we
already
doing?
We've already forgotten about it. And by the way, what's wrong with doing a little war planning over text
with the boys? Come on.
I see no issue. What do you want them to? These guys are very busy. You want the vice president of these United States to get up from his important desk and walk over.
Absolutely.
Just to say bomb on this day, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, bombing some people we've never heard of, you know, more like the Houthis. Am I right?
That's good. I like that.
Thanks. Thought about that earlier.
Yeah, it's very good. I don't understand why there's some people that I've seen on my feed who I won't name. Maybe in the bonus show I'll name them. But yeah. But they've just been crashing out all week about the thing. And it's like, I don't understand what you expect to happen. Like, you're freaking out about this. It clearly has had no... Like, Yemen is not retaliating in any way. Like, this. What's the...
No one's,
the negative here is that it's just embarrassing, kind of, I guess.
Yeah. No one was harmed, you know, no like secrets got leaked, you know, it's like there's no we're fine. Everything's fine.
It's all good.
Sorry, I'm messing with technology like you told me not.
I told you not to do it.
I'm trying to make sure my computer is running well cuz you were lagging, and I want to make sure I hear all of your dulcet tones.
You like hearing my tones?
Yeah, I like hearing your tones. Hold on, wait a second. I'm just now noticing something. Your shelves are bare.
Yeah, I took my shelves down. It's so funny. We got a comment last week on YouTube that's like, finally, I get to see Ethan's shelves, and I just took them down last week.
Just took them down.
you're just in time to see them missing. Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, I got to clear this room out. You know, there's some things happening at the Stevie household that require some maintenance. You know, so I'm clearing some stuff out. But you know, we need to clear out people's personal lives, because I think we got some good questions. No more dilly dallying. I want to get into it. We've already staked our flag in the we are pro Pete Hegseth and pro
group chat.
So let's see what other challenges and trouble we can find ourselves in this week.
It's not a group chat. I'm not in very many group chats.
No,
I think that might say something about me as a person. I heard someone on the radio go, oh, who am I? You know, you're in the group chat with the boys. I'm like, I don't have a boys group chat. Maybe I should get into a couple of boys. If anyone has any openings, I'd love to be invited. But mine and Ethan's chat, if that got leaked, right to jail.
What did I text you earlier today that you thought was funny?
Who up babying they boomer? Is that what it was? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's good. See, that's the only type of stuff when you're with the boys is you get that type of stuff, you know?
Oh, man. All right. Speaking of baby boomers.
Let's get into it.
Hold on. I need to take a sip of my water because I'm a little sick. I'm a little under the weather. Excuse me.
How are you ill on the night of the podcast?
This happens a lot, I feel.
You got to get better.
This one comes from Claire. Boomer church question. Wait, is this the Claire that I know? Do I know?
Yes, it is. Yeah. She went to Israel with us.
Nice. I request some counsel. Yeah, it's the Claire that we know. I work in a Catholic retirement home, and they had a medical fair yesterday, including some quote-unquote sound healing, which was like weird, but it was in the chapel with the Blessed Sacrament present. I'm currently trying to decide whether I should go talk with the director of pastoral care about inappropriate use of a sacred space, like gently expressing my discomfort, asking why they did this, or just let it go. It's kind of the state of the boomer church. I don't know if it's worth it to speak up. I took a video. Here's a screenshot of what I found when I went to pray in the chapel for a few minutes. It doesn't look intrinsically evil. It just gives me the creeps. Is there a way for us to show this?
Yeah, producer Ryan, can you pop up the picture that's in the Discord?
Can you screen share? Or
no, I'm not going to screen share. It's on a different machine, but we'll have Ryan put it up. It's okay. Kind of, for audio listeners, it looks like a collection of gongs and bowls.
I thought it was a drum set.
It does look like a drum set. I cannot figure out what that little collection of items is right on the step up into the sanctuary. I have no clue what that is.
That looks like one of those things you do at church. You know how some churches during Lent.
Yeah.
My church.
Oh, I see.
They
okay.
Do a little.
It's
a
pile of
decoration.
Desert-looking rocks to let people know that it's Lent time.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Whose job is it to get out the rocks for Lent?
We at my parish, we have like a glass vase full of water.
Yeah.
And a glass vase full of ashes.
Dude, it's so funny. There. It's so funny to have decorations for these things that are meant to be like, I have no problem decorating with the seasons. You know, I do think you should get flowers for Easter. You should put wreaths up for Christmas. You know, I'm with all of that, but then to go into church and it's like, it's Lent now. So we have burlap everywhere. It's like, why do we do that? It's not.
We went to Hobby Lobby. We got the burlap. I'm pretty sure, I'm 90% sure that the church down the road from Steubenville, from Franciscan, Holy Family, shout out Holy Family. Yeah. I'm 90% sure that in Lent of 2018, they had Thor's hammer.
What do you mean?
On the altar.
Like
it was
from
like
Avengers Endgame?
A Lenten spread, and they had like kind of tools out there, and one of them looked like a Toys R Us Thor's hammer.
That's funny.
Yeah, they had Mjolnir up there.
What do you make of this sound healing thing?
Sounds pagan, more like.
Yeah.
It sounds.
It'd be funny if they showed up and they just played one of those YouTube videos that's like binaural beats, 240 dBs, 240
sound
hertz,
healing,
and you're just sitting there like, you're just listening to a YouTube video of a frequency. That would be funny. I would pay to go to that.
I don't think it's based in any kind of like science. It sounds like something that someone would major in college if they had a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To me, this
like I had
is
a friend in high school who wanted to like major in music therapy, and I was like, that doesn't sound real.
No,
it sounds like a fake thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think it is real. I think music therapy is one thing that we shouldn't make fun of because it does help like autistic kids, you know, and other
really
and, like people with PTSD. Yeah, like there's all kinds of people that benefit from. Like I remember seeing something on. This is one of those like. Nice slop Facebook videos where like a guy with severe brain damage, like you play his favorite song from 50 years ago and he can like talk and remember things, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like
in my defense, I'm pretty sure this specific type of music therapy was specifically for horses.
Okay. Well, in that case,
No, I'm mixing it up. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up two types of therapy. I had a friend who wanted to major in music therapy. Yeah. And then another friend who I think was my sister-in-law, shout out sister-in-law Kelly, who wanted to major in horse therapy. But using horses for therapy.
The only music therapy that horses need is the sound of two shotgun shells sliding into the barrel.
No. We're not killing horses on this podcast. I'm pretty sure Kelly wanted to do horse therapy. I think.
I will rack a shotgun up with bullets and slugs, and I will fire them point blank into the head of a horse.
With bullets and slugs.
I don't have the resources to invest in gun ownership, so I just know a few words that I can toss out. What was that, a three?
I'll put a full magazine, an extended clip into the shotgun, and I will slug you.
Was that ACP? Very cool. You got a red dot sight on that one? fascinating.
Hell yeah. Speaking
of things that should be.
Oh, what should she do? What should she do?
I don't know. I think to me, this is like the boomers are showing up and they have never had any introspection their whole life. You know, like these people have lived as the world comes at them without stopping or thinking about the consequences or the deeper spiritual meaning of what is going on since they were born. Right. They've been carried on the wave of American bourgeois culture for decades.
On eagle's wings. They've never
had to stop and think. So I for one think that if the boomers want to sit down and think about how terrible of a sinner they are, to the tune of gongs and water, you know, far be it from me. Rain sticks. It's one of those things where it's like it could have happened in a better room than the main sanctuary.
Yeah.
But this is no different than, like, I don't know. You think about the types of things the kids get up to in the church sanctuary. It's like youth.
Kids run around in the sanctuary. Youth night.
Kids are running around the sanctuary. You're playing Protestant songs in there. This can't be any worse than a Protestant song being played in the sanctuary.
Come on.
I don't think you have to do anything. You could probably express your disappointment.
No, we shouldn't make fun of Protestant songs because sometimes if a guy has PTSD and you play it,
yeah,
it helps.
That's true.
I don't know
if that's a good point.
All right. I think you should maybe, but I still think if you want to voice your concerns, go ahead and be like, hey, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
You don't think she should do it?
Well, I think she could offer, hey, the next time you want to have the sound healing, I'd be more than happy to help set up in the parish hall.
In a different space.
Yeah. And then if they're like, no, it has to happen in the chapel, you can be like, well, and then you pull out like your tome, right, that you've printed off from Catholic Answers or whatever, and you could say, well, actually, and then
from Novus Ordo Watch.
Yeah, I think offering to help is a better end than just saying
boomers love it when you offer to help.
Yes, than just saying don't do this. So if you say like, oh, let me help you set it up
youth
in another room, you know, I'm happy to carry all the gong. Let me carry the gong. I'll be your gong girl, starring Ben Affleck.
Yeah, right.
It's a movie where a woman, instead of pretending to kill herself, she's just playing the gong. And she wants to run away. She wants to run away from her husband to play the gong in Asia.
Oh, man. Okay. So speaking of going to Asia, Finland, which is a country in Asia.
Yeah.
French dating advice.
Yes.
This is question number two from Vinyls with Alex. Hey, I could use some advice. I've been chatting with this Finnish girl.
Nice.
For what she start. All right. Finnish girl for a couple weeks now, and it's been going back and forth pretty well. Are you looking up?
I'm looking up facts about Finland so that I can engage with this.
Please do. All right, do that. Chatting with this Finnish girl for a couple of weeks now. Going back and forth. We've met twice. I invited her to my birthday. She stayed later than the friends she came with. Ooh. She even gave me a gift and sat next to me the whole time. Maybe it's because she didn't know my friends that well. Anyway, lately, a girl could be actively kissing you and a guy would be like,
I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know what this is. She could just be really friendly. Maybe she's French. All right.
Maybe her lips are chapped and she just needed a way to quickly
she just
wet
needs
them.
Some moistening. Yeah. Anyway, lately, every time I suggest doing something, she prefers group outings and says she should do it when everyone's available. But also, we shared some playful banter over Instagram. Tonight, I'm seeing her at a concert/bar with friends. I'm definitely asking her out one-on-one. What's the best low-pressure way to ask her out tonight after the event? Very different cultures, too. For dating and living in France. Oh, they're in France.
I think you go up to her and you say, hey, which one of the country's 293 municipalities are you from?
That's it.
How did you feel when the healthcare services were transferred to the 21 self-governing well-being service counties?
It's crazy that a country only has 219 cities.
You ever heard of Stockholm Syndrome?
Isn't that Sweden?
Hold on.
Didn't that happen? Did you look up the wrong country?
No, I'm in the right country. It just has, it's Stockholm is underneath. So I looked up Finland capital, says Helsinki, and right underneath that it says Stockholm. So I think Gemini is lying to me.
Stockholm is Sweden.
So you're in France. Are you French? Because that changes the answer to everything. Because if you're French, you can just say, mon ami, oui, oh, You know, and then you just do that.
Would you like to see the Eiffel Tower or the many homeless?
All right.
Would you like to get
you and me together tonight? You and me. All right. We go out together. We kiss on the mouth. All right. I don't know how French people talk. It's got to be close
you're
to that.
You're kind of throwing some Borat in there. That was a little.
I do not know.
Maybe one day you will be my wife.
Maybe I go up and maybe we kiss. I do not know. Okay. I text you in the bar. We have a little. Right, I'm done. So, are you in? Is this an American in France? Is there any way to tell, or is it he's Canadian, or what's going on?
No, I think he's. Let's assume he's.
So
French.
You're going to a French concert, and you want to ask the Finnish girl out, and she likes you. This sounds like you're in a movie right now. I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, dude, you're in Paris. Put her on a tandem bike and take her to the.
What's the best low pressure way to ask her out tonight after the event? You pick her up by the waist and you set her on your moped and you drive off.
little
you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah,
this is the easiest. You're living in like the most romantic place ever. You're with a Nordic woman, which means her standards for warmth and love are so low.
So low.
So it's literally all you have to do is like be a little bit friendly, hug her maybe once, and you've got her.
Yeah.
In Finland, it's illegal to hug her.
Would you like to take a stroll through the IKEA?
Would you like to? I could take you away with me.
It's kind of creepy now.
Yeah, it is a little creepy. You could go to the concert together. What you could do is you could go to the concert and you could stand next to each other. And throughout the course of the concert, you could try to like brush hands with her multiple times and then kind of just do that for 2 hours. And then at the end, chicken out of saying anything. That's what would be what I would do in your shoes.
That's the American.
That's
move.
The American
the
way.
Move, I think the French move is to kiss her before you even realize she likes you.
Yeah.
But then you've also already kissed all of her friends. I think that's the French way. And then you take like a 6-hour lunch break.
I think the French way is to make sure you kiss all of her male friends first. And then you can go and kiss
take
her.
That, the friend. All right.
I think the easiest way is literally it's so you just say, hey, I really enjoyed spending time with you. I'd love to take you out to coffee or dinner sometime soon. And if she says yes,
to a salon.
Yeah, they could go to a cafe. You go to a cafe. This is so easy. This is a layup, genuinely. Like, you shouldn't even. Yeah. I would not be stressed about this at all. You're in the perfect scenario. You've got all the good signals. You're in Europe. I can't tell you how much of it. You get plus 10 when you're in Europe, just like baseline. Like, it's so much easier. When you're in America, it's like there's. I don't know. I feel like it's just so much harder. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to drive.
An American guy in Europe is kind of like, it's like in Footloose.
It's like an American guy in Europe playing basketball.
Yes.
Like that's
exactly.
You know? Yeah.
It's like in Footloose when Marty McFly goes to the town. He says, everybody, let's dance. And everyone's like, no, we've never, this is amazing. I've never seen this before. That's kind of what having Riz is like in Europe. They've never seen it. They don't know what it's like.
Yeah. And he plays a Chuck Berry song, yeah, which I'm pretty sure was out during, if not soon after, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm time period.
Yeah.
1955.
I don't know what movie you're talking about. I'm talking about Footloose.
Oh, you said Back to the Future. Whoa. What the hell? What's going on?
Talking about Back to the Future.
The worst day of my life.
Are you back?
Sorry I had to see that, folks. No, I'm not. What's going on?
Dude, this is crazy. I feel like I'm on a video call with my grandma.
Hold on.
She's like at the bottom of the camera. You can only see her eyes.
Ethan!
Where are you living again?
Why not? How do I turn off Windows Defender? How do I get this to turn off? I can't understand this thing. Gerald!
It says Fortnite Battle Pass.
Ethan, why do I have all these charges on my card? It says V-Bucks. What's her V-Bucks? Everyone's grandma's from New York.
Everyone's grandma's from New York. The Ninja Turtles are running around on my screen. I don't know how to get them to stop.
Oh boy.
Oh, we love grandmas. That's good. I think let's go to an ad break.
All right, we're back from the ad break.
If you haven't checked out Verso Jobs, you should check out Verso Jobs. It's the place to go if you're hiring or looking to get hired. Yeah. You're looking for jobs, or if you're looking to hire, that's the place to go. Next question is from a patron.
Yes.
Gerardo.
If you want to get your question featured on the show, it's much more likely to happen if you're a patron. So go to patreon.com/thecrunch and join/thecrunch, I think. But patreon.com/thecrunch works regardless. And you can join at $5 a month and you'll get access to our patron chat where we are much more active and we hang out a lot. Great. This patron question, speaking of new jobs, why pay for a therapist when you can just pay Dr. Ethan? I have a question that's probably more appropriate for a therapist, but until then, I'll post it here. $5 a month is a lot cheaper than therapy. Might be more effective too.
It's true. Good point.
I'm gonna stop making jokes about therapy. Never mind. How do you deal with anxiety, taking up mental space when you're trying to pray? Let me know when you figure that one out. The biggest thing that derails my prayer life is stress and worrying. I'll end up going on long trains of thought, stressing out about something, even if I know consciously that it's super trivial. By the time I'm done stressing, I'll feel mentally exhausted and no longer motivated to pray. What do you do when you're trying to pray, but things you're anxious or worried about keep popping up in your head? How do you tell yourself that everything's okay? I think this is a funny question.
Why is it a funny question?
You're like, hold on, my thoughts and concerns and worries. I'm trying to talk to God here, all right? And God's like, hello.
It is kind of like trying to get super buff before you start going to training.
Yeah, going to the gym.
With a personal trainer. It's like you don't want him to know that you're not strong. Yeah. It is kind of like that. Have you tried music therapy? Have you tried doing what the people in my adoration hour do, which is just put on headphones and start listening to music halfway through their adoration hour?
Have you thought about getting a gong and just you know, just banging away?
Have you thought about acquiring a gong girl from Asia that you can take around with you? You can get them. They're like VAs. You can just get them.
Like,
you know, they're much cheaper because
the
dollar exchange rate, it's like full-time salary for them. So it's not exploitation. It's just your own personal gong girl. And that every time you start
to... exploitation. It's just your own personal...
every time you start to spiral, she sees it. She hits the thing.
And you get a piano guy to go, do-do-do-do-do-do. You do that, you know?
I don't know what that's. I don't know what that song is.
It's the Asia song. I don't know where it's from.
I like the Asia song. The Asia song.
Yeah, it's the song that you hear in Asia in movies.
Russians seething right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russia isn't in Asia. They're like bonus Europe, you know?
But they're so large.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah. I have some thoughts about this. I'm sure you have some thoughts too. I think this is why the Bible was invented.
Yes.
Also spiritual reading. Like when you, sometimes if you just try to go and like sit down, especially if you're not like that practiced at mental prayer, like if you have if you're not, cause it is kind of a skill that you have to build up of stopping, letting all the worldly things kind of float away, focusing entirely on God, listening to what he has to say. That's like, that takes time to develop. That doesn't just happen like once you start praying. So if you're struggling to get there, a really easy way to focus your mental energy on one thing is to read a book, particularly one that might be interesting to you. So a lot of saints just advocate for just keep trying spiritual books until you find one that really hooks you in and then just read that. And then when something like really strikes you, then you stop, reflect, pray about that thing. And then you have something concrete to talk to God about. Instead of sitting down and you just have 30 minutes or an hour and you're in prayer, 15 minutes, however long it is, and then you have nothing concrete to pray about. And so you just start, you're just all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's not very productive. So I think you should try getting some getting some literature in there with you. I think that's good. Don't take like real spiritual books. Don't take like a fake spiritual book. You know, it's like, I'm reading Lord of the Rings in adoration. Get out of here. Hmm. You're not. Don't do that.
I had a friend who read Dante's Inferno.
I'm reading the Space Trilogy.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah, Dante's Inferno. That doesn't count.
Dante's Inferno does count, I think. I think
no, it's not.
You don't think it counts?
You think we should canonize Dante Alighieri, Allegheny County?
No, I just think it's a very good book. If you read The Purgatory, I think The Purgatory is good for spiritual reading.
Sure.
But regardless, I think that's a good thought. It's like the spiritual reading will help if you've got nothing to think about. However,
yeah,
if you're very worried about something and that mm-hmm. keeps coming up in prayer, it's typically mm-hmm. a good sign that you need to talk to God about it.
Yes.
And like let him talk to you back, because that's like Bishop Barron gave this advice a while ago, and it's always stuck with me, of like, when something pops up in your head in prayer, stop, acknowledge it, say thank you, and just leave, you know, let it go away. You know, does this thought spark joy? And then if it keeps coming up, stop what you're doing and talk to God about that, because that's very clearly something that God wants you to mm-hmm. think about and talk about. And so, you know, it's prayer time. It's about you and God. So it's not like, you know, you have to be, I'm supposed to be meditating on John 6, chapter 6, verses 60 through 65, because that's what's on my reading yeah. plan. It's like, no, it's prayer time. I don't have an agenda when I go talk to my wife. You know, I don't have an agenda when you go talk to God.
I have an agenda when I talk to my wife. There's usually things that I have to address.
That is fair. There are elements of that.
Because I go to work all day, and then I have this pile of text messages at the end of the day. It's like, okay,
we've established,
we can talk about all these things.
We have an
now,
agenda. Yeah, you know? We have a meeting.
You want to? Yeah, we have a meeting. I think so I agree with that, but I also think that if there's something that is like, you're giving undue attention to, you know, like if there's something that's like genuinely and truly like out of your control, you've prayed about it, it's just something that's stressing you out, I think it's good. Like for me, like when I was trying to figure out whether or not to propose to my wife, it's like consuming, right? It's like, what should I do? Should I do this now? Should I do it later? Should I not do it at all? I don't know. My priest advised me, he's like, just pray about it for the first 5 minutes of your prayer time and just set that time aside. It's like, so you know, you're going to pray about it every day. But then once that time is up, you got to move on, right?
Yeah.
Like, that can't just be your whole life, you know,
that's true.
Of
dudes,
prayer with
dudes
God.
Dudes love to do this with girls. They love yeah. to pray.
So I don't know what the thing is. I'm assuming this is about a woman.
Oh, I didn't make that assumption, but.
No. Oh, okay. Stressing about, I guess it could be about anything.
It's super trivial. That's what he said. Super trivial.
Yeah, it's probably about a woman. No offense to the ladies out there.
Women owned. On this podcast.
Yeah.
This is not a misogynistic podcast.
No, we love women. So I think that's another strategy, right? We don't know your exact situation, so you're going to have to take the advice that most fits what you're going through. But
sorry, I thought of it.
What's going on? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I thought of a joke, but it's not a funny joke. It's not a funny joke.
Go ahead. Come on. You've stopped the flow of the show.
I know.
Like
I was trying to, I was trying to like think about a way to, I was like, oh, we love women. I'm married to one. And I was trying to say like how, like I also have a daughter, and I was like, I'm married to one and I own one was the word that kept coming. And I was like, how funny would it be to be like, no, we love women. Yeah. I own two of them. Like that. Would...
Yeah. We love women. Hey, Gone Girl, get in here. Let me talk about how much I love women.
Come here. Tell the people, tell the people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I think, how do you, last question, how do you tell yourself that everything is okay and to not worry? Usually things aren't going to be okay and you should worry, but. What?
That's really good.
Things
that's
are hard. Really life,
that's like,
life
that's
is
like,
tough.
That's like that advice you get about imposter syndrome where it's like, maybe it's because you are.
Yeah, maybe it's because you suck at
like,
whatever the thing
you
is
have,
that you're trying to do.
Maybe you have imposter syndrome because you're bad at what
you do. I just feel like
doing.
I have imposter syndrome, guy who's comparing himself to people who've been doing what he's doing for 10 years.
Yeah, it's like, well,
it's like, yeah, of course.
You're bad at what you do. That's fine. Just admit it, you know?
Yeah. It's normal to worry, but here's a couple tips and tricks for you to maybe get over it. And if that doesn't work, let us know.
Cool. All right, next question.
Hey. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Quebin 4. Dating question. Oh, I'm excited for this one.
Ooh, okay. Anything to consider when asking out a coworker? I work for a Catholic org. My team is about my age. Ooh. We work really close, and we have formed a friend group. Wow. See the last episode. Wow. You clearly don't listen to this podcast. All right. Apparently, the supervisor above our team joked that I'm the only one with potential to cause drama as the only single man.
Oh.
I'm the only one with potential. Everyone else has imposters. And... Which doesn't really dissuade me from asking a girl out, but I've heard advice not to date coworkers because it can create a weird group dynamic. My team is a 5-2 gender imbalance, and we've formed a friend group. He said friend.
Weighted to which side? Is it 5 men and 2 women?
It's a Catholic organization. It's obviously 5 women.
That's five women, 2 men. Yeah, you're right. Good point.
I have been thinking about asking her out after Easter when there is a month left in our term to minimize the potential of awkwardness, but I don't really want to wait. Originally, I was fine with waiting because it feels prudent, but we were on a spontaneous 6-hour walk to explore.
Whoa!
Dude. You spent a whole work day together and you're like, I don't...
That's crazy. You spent a transatlantic flight with this woman. That's insane.
That's and you're like, forever. I don't know. What Ethan and I went on a transatlantic flight together and... Look at us now.
Well, I dropped a green bean on my iPad.
It gets me every time. It's so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you did literally drop a green bean.
That's just what happened to me. I dropped a green bean on my iPad, and everybody was speaking that way to me. And they're
all the British people thought beautiful. It was funny, which I thought was nice.
You lot, where you lot going? You going to Israel? Typical Americans going to Israel. That's how they said. That's how they sounded when they spoke.
Yeah.
You drank a lot of wine on that flight, so that's
two.
The thing I remember the
I
most.
I drank two.
He had a lot.
I drank
two.
Yeah,
big.
Not,
we were at altitude. We were at altitude. So.
Yeah. We were at altitude in a pressurized cabin. You don't feel the altitude. If you did, you would pass out. So the funny thing about me drinking on the trip was that I had to consume an entire can. Didn't have to, but they told me to. I consume an entire can of wine at 3 o'clock in the morning, London time, in the airport because they don't allow any liquids at all, even sealed cans. And so I was like, do you guys want to take it? And the security guard was like, if I were you, I'd just drink it. And I was like, wow, it's a different place over
here. They're so free over there.
Could you imagine taking a container of alcohol to an American TSA and they being like, you should probably just finish that now. You could go to jail. It's an open container. You can't do that in America.
So strict.
So
I know.
Stupid.
It's just a lawless place.
Yes.
So the question is,
anyway,
I went on a 6-hour walk with a woman and now I'm going to wait for a month to do anything about it.
She's gonna move on.
Is that the vibe that I'm getting? Are you a focus missionary?
No, they gotta be. They gotta be like in a Catholic forestry.
He's talking about. He's like
there's no
the term is about to be a so
their term's
over.
About
so
to
it's
be
like
a, maybe they're on net.
Is it so? He's a Catholic school teacher. And she's a student. No, hold on. Other way around. You're a student, and she's
now it's
school
less
teacher.
Weird for some reason.
Now it's less weird. I'm sorry. I did not mean to imply that you're a pedophile. It's the first thing that came out of my mouth. So that's on
the
me.
Supervisor above our team. So maybe they are on net and their term is almost up.
Maybe. Yeah. Net is probably net. This sounds very net.
Yeah. Cause there's no, there's, to what other, like what that. Other Catholic organization could you go on a spontaneous 6-hour walk with a coworker and not get fired?
Yeah. True.
You know, like where, why weren't you at your desk? You know?
Yeah. Anything to consider when asking out a coworker?
Date secretly. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it is fun. You should try that.
Date in secret.
Is there a rule against dating?
No, I don't think so. But he said, but his supervisor was like, there's a potential to cause drama. This is what you do. You say, hey, I think we should hang out more, but I don't think we should tell too many people because I don't want to cause any drama. Girls
then
love
you feel
that.
Special.
Girls love.
They love
they
that.
They love not causing
wow.
drama. They love saying that they're not causing true. Drama.
You're lying.
They love saying they love saying I'm not causing. I don't want to cause any drama.
I think I'm missing some critical context, because the only way that this guy could cause drama is if more than one woman in the group liked him.
Yes.
Right. So people don't just get jealous. Like, if there's a guy, like an ugly girl that you know, and she starts dating an ugly guy, like, nobody's like, ah, darn it.
Everyone's like, well, there's a lid for every pot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just kind of wondering, will this cause drama?
Maybe. So he's the only single guy, so the other guy's taken.
Yeah, that's true. The other guy's taken.
Not necessarily taken by someone in the group.
True, true.
So there is potential. There is potential that we got 5 girls vying for the same guy. That's possible.
Gosh, that must be awesome. As a single guy, I never had this happen to me. I was always just like one woman at a time liked me if I was lucky.
Yeah.
And so it's 5 at a time. I can't even imagine the dopamine rush that must be waking up every day.
I'm very glad that you're walking into. Podcasting with you would have been awful.
Insufferable. You
would have talked about it all the time.
It sounds a little bit like gambling in a way. Sounds like how it feels when you hit the floor, you know.
I could go play Baccarat.
Yeah. Let's back up. This is normal. What you're experiencing is normal. If you're on mission with a bunch of people, you're like deeply care about the same thing. You're all on mission. You're emotionally like doing the same types of things. You're on the same schedule. You're seeing each other all the time. This is normal for like a crush to happen in this group.
Yes.
The only way to know if it's real or not is to either spend some time apart and decide, you know, do I still like this person or not? I don't really like that route. If there's no restrictions on dating, just ask her out. You're already going on 6-hour walks anyway. So I don't know what's going to be different. Everyone is already probably being like, hey, they just went on a six. Like everyone's already talking about this. Yeah, they just went on a 6-hour walk. Everybody knows, right? So it's like it's not a secret now because you absconded with a woman for a whole solar cycle. Yeah,
so a whole solar cycle, like a bike ride.
This is not
like the fitness club. Oh, that's soul cycle. All right.
No, I'm talking about the damn sun, brother.
You absconded. In former cultures, you guys would have been in a lot of trouble for running away for 6 hours.
In former cultures, this is enough to be wed. Like, that's what it took.
They would assume you were married.
Yeah, they just assume that, they're consummating now. They must have talked to the forest shaman, and now they're off doing what they do. They found a lily pad to get comfortable on.
A lily pad? Those are in the water.
Big lily pads that they have out in the magical forests to make love on.
Sure.
Everybody already knows. So because you did a spontaneous 6-hour walk. So I think you should just ask her out and live with the consequences. Worst case, you date for a little bit. It ends messily. Everybody moves on. That's genuinely the worst case. So like you have nothing to lose here.
Yeah.
You're young, you're hot. This is fun.
Get after it. I think we said this last week. No, I didn't say this last week about friend groups. Most friend groups fail anyway, so it's typically not a problem to make the friend group awkward because you date someone in the friend group. That's what.
When you guys are done with this year on net, you're gonna like keep up, but it's not gonna be the same ever again.
Yeah, you're like at the same, I don't know, like youth conference, you happen to be chaperoning the same youth conference, you'll be like, oh my gosh, like what's up? And you'll hang out and be like, hey, it's to go see you. But it's not gonna be the same. And the whole
you remember when we platonically went on a 6-hour walk together? That was so. This is my wife, by the way.
I'm so glad I was prudent because now I married this girl. Yeah. But yes, the funny thing is that the whole point of friend groups when they start is for the men and the women to find men and women, opposite. It's for to find spouses. And then when it comes to the point where guys are like, oh, I think I might like this person, but I don't want to ruin the friend group. Like, that's what else is it for?
Yeah.
It's not a platonic, like a friend group is, you know, the fellas and the ladies have come together. They've kind of agreed that they're going to do a group thing and they're going to mingle. And some guys are going to find some girls. It's going to be nice. And then it's going to kind of meld apart. And then, you have different girls that you hang out with, different guys you hang out with. And that's the point. but we're putting the cart before the horse here. Friend group can break up because the point of it is to find, if only one couple comes out of a friend group, that's a successful friend group, in my opinion.
Would you, if there was a building on fire with one successful couple or 5,000 friend groups, which one would you save?
I would save the successful couple. I refuse to recognize the legitimacy of friend groups as real entities.
That's fair.
This is kind of a dark analogy.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just the first thing I thought of when you phrased it that way.
Anyway, so yeah, you're fine. Friend groups, don't put the friend group before the couple, the friend group card before the couple horse. Any advice on dating for a college kid going on his first date? I have a date with the girl I've been talking to here on campus. This will be my first date ever. Are there any topics I should bring up to discuss? Are there things I should do during the date? All right.
All right. Get ready. Tartaria, UFOs, JFK, 9/11, vaccines, 5G.
Circle back to
the pyramids. I mean, there's just so much that you can get into on a first date. How do you even cover all the ground that you need to cover on a first date? You can't. You got to go on a six-hour walk.
You got to bring an agenda.
Like what they had when they were one-room schoolhouses, like a little chalkboard with the string and the chalks attached, and have all your topics written out, and you can cross them off and erase, and then you can draw things for her as you're
I'm picturing like
no, so it's the columns are under the pyramid, and there's these big boxes at the bottom,
and the Nephilim were killed in the flood.
Oh, you got to talk about the Nephilim. You got to talk about giants. You got to talk about. Tool, you got to talk about Hyperborea, you got to talk about the Northwest Passage. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Underwater bases, Atlantis.
I'm picturing like a me on a first date, and it's an Alex Jones edit, you know? Like,
yeah. You talk about the fire of human liberty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you have to keep it safe. I suppose.
Yeah, you should talk about
who'd you vote for in November?
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one. People are breaking up because of that now. You see that post about dating in DC?
Yeah, I did. It's sad.
This woman, Texas guy, they were like flirting, and she's like, oh, by the way, who'd you vote for in November? And he's like, I wrote in my dog. And she's like, that's not funny. Goodbye. And then he like crashed out. It's like, what are you, a liberal? And it's like, well, yes, clearly.
Yeah.
But you just saying that is not helping anything. I don't know. What should this guy talk about on his first date with this girl in college? Probably family.
Classes that you've taken, that you are taking.
Classes that you've taken. Where your favorite places to sit down and study.
Your favorite quad. The right one or the left one, you know?
Yeah. Talk about how you think it's so cool that your campus has so many student organizations, and if there's not one that you like, you can start your own.
Talk about how much you love all of the student services available in the academic support office.
You could talk about how there's a thriving Greek life at your university, but it doesn't dominate the campus. You can be involved in it if you want to.
Were you a tour guide at school?
No, I just was friends with a lot of tour guides.
Oh man. Cool. I don't know, man. This is a tough question, because the question is, how do I have a conversation? And that is,
we actually have a course to solve this.
Do we really? That's a good point. Not about this though. how to convince a girl to date you. Convince your crush.
You need to make the dating course. Yeah, convince your crush.
Oh man, that's the way to go. But I think you're overthinking it. You know, ask about
you
family.
Are, genuinely.
Typically, you can ask about three major subjects to start a conversation. You could talk about the weather. You could talk about what they've done that day, how was your weekend, or you can talk about like where they're from. You know, like just.
I like the Ford. Have you heard of this? Family, occupation, relationships, dreams. recreation dreams. It's not relationships. It's family, occupation, recreation, dreams. Those are the four areas that you can go into. That has never served me wrong in a conversation with anybody, because you can always say, how many siblings do you have? Tell me about how old's your brother? No way, my brother's the same age. What do they like to do? And then everybody loves to talk about their siblings. Most people, you know, what is your dream job? If you could, a good question that I like to do is like, if you could have $1 million a year doing whatever, what job would you pick? You know, money's no object. What job are you selecting? Because then that breaks them out of like, well, this is my major and this is what I'm studying. And then they could be like, no, I really want to be a DJ. It's like, that's so really cool. That's interesting. Yeah. You know, and then you can talk to them about being a DJ. So you can just be interested in that.
I had a lot of success when I was a youth minister, especially with middle schoolers, because it's impossible to get them to talk about anything. Because they're all afraid that, you know, they'll say something they like and then they'll get, you know, torn down.
Bullied.
Yeah. And so that's why I make sure whenever some kid goes, I like chess, I go, ha, nerd, what are you gonna do with chess? You're not gonna get a job with chess. I'm just kidding. But no, I would say like, what I would ask him, like, what are you really excited about right now? Like, what are you really looking forward to right now? And they tell me like, oh, my parents are going, we've been planning this trip to Disney for like 2 years and we've been saving up and it's finally happening. Whoa. Or like, you know, this is up in Pennsylvania, not in Florida. Or like, we have a school play that's coming up and I've been practicing really hard and I got the lead. And like, oh, awesome. Like, let's talk about that. That's what, like, what are you most excited about right now is a good question. Yeah.
That also works well in like networking and business conversations. So instead of asking someone like, what do you do? It's like, what are you working on right now? That's really exciting. That's just like an easy hack when you're out in the business world, because then people don't go into their like spiel about what they do. Instead, they actually think for a second and they're like, this is what I'm excited about. It sets you apart from the field. It's a pro tip.
Yeah, that's a good one
for all you business boys out there and girls.
Business boys and girls, boy bosses and girl bosses alike. So yeah, those are some good tips. I think one
good tips,
the Ford thing is helpful. I think it'll set you apart just in general from conversations that you have with people. The good thing to remember in conversations, and I have this conversation with my wife all the time, is that everybody really wants to talk about themselves. Everybody really wants to. That's why we started a podcast, so we could do that.
All right.
Everybody really wants to talk about themselves. And it's like, you could paint that in a negative light and be like, everyone's so selfish. They just want to talk about themselves. But the reason why you think it's selfish is because you want to talk about yourself. And so you should be selfless and let people talk about their favorite subject themselves.
Whoa.
And so the key to any conversation is, how can I creatively let this person talk about what they really want to talk to me about, which is typically have something they want to say. They just are waiting for you to let them. Mm-hmm.
So we're in the short season of Satan, and there was a mud flood, right? And so all of these buildings are like half buried, right? So if you look at some of the great architecture in America, they're actually built for much larger people. Because for 1,000 years, we had our glorified bodies and we were using energy that was in the air. And that's why all of these buildings had like copper domes at the top, so that they could take the energy from the air and they turned it into energy on the ground. Right. And that's what you have to see. This is what I would be. If you ask me what I'm excited about right now, I'd be like, I'm following this guy on Twitter. He keeps posting crazy stuff. And I'm learning things that I never thought I would learn before.
I'm learning things that aren't even real. They're not even,
I'm learning about meltology.
Meltology.
It's exactly what
the
it sounds like.
Melting things.
But it's like rocks that melt. Like, oh, why is there a building inside the rocks that melted? We'll talk about it on the bonus podcast.
I can't wait.
But before we get there, Patrick's gonna read us the unhinged YouTube comment of the week.
If you would like to have the unhinged YouTube comment, make sure to like and follow, just like and subscribe and comment below if you want to have your unhinged comment. Unhinged comment of the week. When does the video start? I'm 6 minutes in and it has not started yet. I have other videos to watch. LOL.
This one kind of hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry you don't like our podcast.
You don't like it? It's like, I responded to him. I said, this is a podcast.
It's a podcast.
I don't, maybe we should make it more clear that it's a podcast. Maybe. I mean, I guess the runtime, 50 minutes, two guys with microphones. Like, I don't know what else we do. It has to be a podcast. It's not like
put, episode.
It's not a Mr. Beast video.
I'm not putting episode 00, whatever on there. I'm not
doing it. No, because I'm not a loser.
I'm not.
Anyway, that's the Unhinged YouTube comment of the week. Go to YouTube. We just crossed 1,100 subscribers, by the way. So we are climbing steadily, like 100 subscribers a month. At this rate, we'll have 1,000,000 subscribers.
That's true. At this rate, we will have 1,000,000 subscribers. That's true.
Yeah. We're going to go do the bonus show over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thecrunch. Goodbye, everybody.
What about Patrick? Do you have anything else for the people? We don't do that anymore.
Do you want to do it?
Sure. Tune in next week when we leak actual war plans.
Patrick killed a guy. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll pray for you. We'll see you all next time.